on solid ground. When I think about the
It makes me want
child. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. You're worthy, Lord. See, you can't tell it, so let me tell it, what the Lord has done for me. Said you can't tell it, so let me tell it, what the Lord has done for me. He picked me up, turned me around, placed these feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, yes. Lord, I thank you for all you've done for me. Say you can't tell it, so let me tell it, what the Lord has done for me. Said you can't tell it, so let me tell it, yo, what the Lord has done for me. He picked me up, turned me around, placed these feet on solid, solid ground. You can't tell it, so let me tell it, Lord, what the Lord has done for me.
See, that's when you enter into worship. That's when you enter into praise. When you're just thankful for the little things that he's done. As he's here, whatever we have need of, he can supply it, amen? Whatever we desire, God can give it to us, amen? We have to come under expectation to hear the word of God, amen. And are you ready to receive the word of God? Not out of Brother Caleb's lips, but out of God's lips, amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, just for another day that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, as we just prepare, Lord God, just to, Lord, move into your word, Lord. And I ask that you just move me out the way, Lord God, that you may speak to your people, Lord God. And Lord God, may my thoughts, Lord, go out the window, Lord God, and may your thoughts move in, Lord God, to speak to your people. Lord God, different ones here have different conditions, Lord. And as the song was written, Lord, by Sister Ashley, Lord, speak to my condition, Lord. Lord, even myself, Lord God, I, Lord God, need, Lord God, guidance from you, Lord God. And I ask that, Lord God, even though you're speaking through my lips, Lord God, may you speak, Lord God, to my heart, Lord God, to help me to keep going, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that, Lord God, that you would just move in a mighty way in this place, Lord. And Lord God, we give this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. We're going to turn to Psalms 57 and verse 7. Psalms 57 and verse 7. And then you have it, say amen. Psalms 57 and verse 7. It says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Amen. You may be seated. So when we read this scripture in Psalms 57 and verse 7, actually the history behind it, what my Bible tells me, it says, to the chief musician, I can't pronounce his name, I think it's Altesheth, if I'm right, Mechadem of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. And from what we're seeing right here, David is running from Saul right now. And a lot of us are running from different other things. And as we are running and everything, it says right here, it said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So the title today is Keep Your Focus. Keep Your Focus. Now, I actually kind of struggled with the title, but this title kind of dropped into my heart. And then as I began to listen to the radio, the lady on the radio said, you know, I love you and keep your focus. I was like, wow, okay. And then after that, somebody told me, he said, you got to stay focused. I'm like, okay. And then after that, somebody else told me, you have to keep your focus. So I'm like, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to speak. So, Lord, I ask that you just move me out the way that you would speak. And as I listened to a tape last night, Brother Branham, what he did, a lady came into the prayer line, and he just began to talk. And as he began to talk, then after that, the Spirit of God came in, and then it took over his lips. And then after that, he was able to tell what's on the people's hearts. So, like I said, I'm a little nervous, today, but I ask that the Lord of hosts, just speak through my heart. Amen. I mean, speak through my lips. Amen. My heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. Now, as Christians, we suffer from something that I believe is not natural but spiritual. And if you suffer from it naturally, this isn't anything to pick on you, but this is just to bring a little bit closer to home. As Christians, we suffer from spiritual ADHD. One more time, you suffer from spiritual ADHD. Now, in school, a lot of people look at these kids and say, that kid has ADHD and that kid has ADHD. But let's break it down. What is ADHD? It's when somebody can't sit still for a long time. It's when somebody can't wait for anything to happen. And when something happens, when something little catches that person's attention. That's normal ADHD, but sometimes people, Christians, go through spiritual ADHD. When God doesn't answer a certain prayer, they get ready to move. When you want them to move, you just move on your own. You get ahead of God. You're suffering from spiritual ADHD, but God comes to tell you to keep your focus. Now, before we go on, I have a question, and Brother Branham asked this, and I feel like, Lord, I'm a little held back in my heart, but God is telling me that, young man, I gave you this sermon all the way Wednesday, and you didn't know what was going on, but I gave you these words, now speak them. Now, Brother Jack said, slack not the ride for me. So, Lord, I ask that you just help me to get out the way that you may speak. Now, the question that Brother Branham asked on the message, second-handed robe, and I ask you, why are you here? Are you just here to come to church? Are you just here to see a friend? Are you just here for an emotional workup? Or are you here to keep your focus? Are you here to look at God? Are you here to know, Lord, what do I have to do to get better? Lord, what do I have to do to live right? Lord, what do I have to do right? Lord, how can I keep my focus? Lord, why am I really here? Am I here really just to worship your name? Or am I here to look at somebody else? Am I here to, Lord, enter into service? Or am I here just to, Lord, lay back? Lord, why am I here? And sometimes we ask God that when situations come, when circumstances come, when trials come, when tribulations come, when people talk about you, you suffer from ADHD and you move all around and you wonder, Lord, why am I here? But Brother Branham, he told us why we're here, and he said something very, very key that I want to bring out. He said in the principles of divine healing, it says this. Now, the first thing a person does when they get sick, maybe around home, you have a few remedies and things to try. The next thing is maybe you'll call the doctor. That's a sensible thing to do. If the doctor can't do you no good, then you got the right to go to God. That's what you should do. Call on God, and God is the author of circumstances. He can't do nothing else that can be done. Y'all forgive me. I'm just kind of getting over my nervousness a little bit. It says, when man comes to the end of their line, God can do. Now notice and never forget this. You people laying there and needy, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. One more time. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. When you believe and take God at his word, saying it's so, believe it so, God will bring it to pass. I hope I'm not yelling at you. This thing's really got some voice right now. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass.
If you're a sinner, confess your sins. Believe that God saved you, and then go testifying and telling people that you're saved. It'll work righteousness. After a while, you'll be a Christian. You believe that? The right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. But you can't suffer from ADHD. And a lot of us do suffer from ADHD, spiritual ADHD. And usually what they do to kids or adults that suffer from ADHD, they give them a depressant to depress their mood. But you know what? I'm not giving you a depressant, but I'm giving you stimulation by revelation of the word. Now, depressant is that I'll pat you on the back and say, oh, you're going through problems. Oh, it's okay. I have a pity party. No, I'm not going to have a pity party with you, nor God is going to have a pity party with you. He's saying the right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring in the path. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what is in front of you. Brother Branham said, God is the author of our circumstance. That means if he's the author, he wrote the beginning, and also he wrote the end as well. But you got to keep your focus. You have to do this. You have to be still and know that he is God. You have to know why that you're here. You can't say, I'm here because of this person. You have to say, no, I'm here because of myself. You as an individual have to keep your focus. And now to bring it a little bit closer to home, some of us lack spiritual eyeglasses. And y'all forgive me because I'm trying to go off my notes. Like I said, I'm really nervous, but let me go ahead and put these away. We lack our spiritual eyeglasses, and for anybody that wears eyeglasses, you know what happens. Over a period of time, you begin to lose your sight. And I wore my glasses today just as a prop for this, so as I take off my glasses, things get out of focus. And a lot of times without your spiritual eyeglasses, things get out of focus. Things get out of line. Things get out of place. Lord, I want to do this, but then your focus gets off because you're not wearing your spiritual eyeglasses. You have not gone to the doctor to get your prescription checked up. As we lack our spiritual eyeglasses, we do this. Just like any child, usually when you're a child, usually when you're young, this is the time when you get glasses. Or sometimes when you get a little older, you get glasses. But before you get your glasses, you go through denial first. I don't need the glasses. Or let me bring it a little bit closer. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to worship God. I don't need to praise God. I don't need those people to pat me on the back. I can do things myself. You're going to get out of focus. I don't need to pray. I don't need to listen to the tapes. I don't need to read my Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you will lose your focus. You will lose your step. It says, thou, O Lord, art a strength of me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. If you don't put God first, if you don't put God in your focus, then you're going to lose your focus. And then you'll wonder how you got out there. It's time for you to get the spiritual glasses on. You go through a state of denial. I don't need glasses. I don't need somebody to call me. I don't need somebody to text me. I don't need to hear what the preacher's got to say. I don't need to hear what Brother Branham's got to say. I don't need to get in my place in the church. I'm okay just sitting down. No, God wants you to get your spiritual eyeglasses on. God says it's time for spirit and truth to get into focus. And I know what the devil's doing. The devil's like, oh, you know what, Brother Caleb, you're talking to this certain person. Or you're talking to this certain person. You're talking to this certain person. Let me squash that thought right now. The devil is a liar. Devil, I'm trying to give people the eyeglasses so they can get focused. And the devil might be telling you in your mind, and I know. I know because I'm feeling it right now. And a lot of times they feel like, oh, that's just Brother Caleb. No, when Brother Caleb sets up here, it's a totally different story. It's a totally different thing. Brother Caleb doesn't come up here to speak to your emotion. Brother Caleb comes to speak to your soul. And not Brother Caleb, but God comes to speak to your soul. Stir up things and say, get back in focus. So don't let the devil get you in a mind battle. The greatest battle ever fought can be fought in church, but you can win the battle right in church. God wants to give you your spiritual eyeglasses, but you got to get out of denial. You got to get out of, no, I don't need the glasses. And usually when you don't have the glasses, you have to move a little bit closer to see certain things. You have to move a little bit closer for things to get in focus. If God doesn't do it in the distance, he can't do it at all. If God doesn't do it right in front of you, he can't do it at all. If God doesn't do it right now, he can't do it at all. It's because you don't wear your glasses. That's why. So now it's time to go to the eye doctor. Now it's time to get our eyes opened up. Now for me, when I went to the eye doctor when I was a young man, I went there and what they did, they actually put me in a little chair and said, read what you can read. So I looked at a certain line and the words were really big and I could read it easily. Then on the second line, I could read it easily. On the third line, I could read it easily. Yeah, it's easy to worship God when you're around your friends, your spiritual friends. Yeah, it's easy to worship God when you're in church. Yeah, it's easy to worship God when you're on a spiritual high. But can you also read the Word of God when you're going through a valley? Can you also focus on the Word of God when there's nobody around you? Can you also focus on the Word of God when there's nobody to pump you up? When there's nobody to pressure, nobody to say, come on, you can do it. Can you still focus? If you can't focus, you got to get some spiritual eyeglasses. You say, can you read the last line? And if you have to be honest with yourself, no, I can't read the last line. No, I can't see how this is going to end. No, I can't see how this is going to get better. It just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. Day by day, I try to drive and I can't see. I try to walk and I can't see. I try to pray and I can't pray. I try to sing and I can't sing. I try to worship and I can't worship. I try to get to church and something just holds me back. Something holds me back from not getting to church. Somewhere I lost my focus. And you can't lie to the doctor. He knows when you can't see, and he knows when you can see. Same thing with God. When you come into God's presence, nothing is hidden. Your life is on display. And he said, I want to help you, but you got to get out of denial first. I want to be your healer, but you got to trust me. You got to realize that I want to be it all, but you got to trust my word. You got to do what I say. I want to be your healer. I want to be your provider. I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your keeper. But first, I got to get you into focus first. I want to be your all in all, but I got to get you in focus first. The world out there has nothing to offer. And even fake church friends have nothing to offer. But it's those people that stick close to you. It's those people that pray with you. It's those people that call you up on the phone. It's those people that sit right next to you. Those are the people. Those are your brothers and sisters that will keep your focus. Now we're building all this up to a certain point. Now finally you get into the eye doctor and you say, no, I can't see. I'm sorry, sir. I cannot read that final line. Then after that, he puts a lens on, and then he put another lens on, and he puts another lens on. And sometimes our left side may be a little weaker than our right side, or vice versa. Sometimes you may know the Old Testament, but don't know the New Testament. Sometimes you may know the New Testament, but not know the Old Testament. But God wants to make sure he gets all the word lined up just right to get you in right focus. So I have to tell you, if you're going through a certain situation, find your prescription. I said, if you're going through a certain situation, find your prescription. If you're going through, Lord, I don't have the money, your prescription's in Malachi. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. If you're dealing with, Lord, I can't conquer these certain things, your prescription's in Romans. Nay, in all things, I am more than a conqueror. If you're dealing with, Lord, I can't keep my focus, your scripture is in Psalm 57, verse 7. Lord, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. And David, he was going through a little hard moment there. And if you read it, he said, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. That means he had to pause and say, oh, God, my heart is fixed. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I don't care what my family says. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I don't care what my body feels like. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I don't care what's going on in front of my face. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. David said, I got to keep my focus. I got to press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not in this person, not in that person, not in this job, not in that job, but in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's some good prescription. Finally, when you get the right prescription, it takes a little time for them to make your glasses. Now, I said, do you suffer from ADHD, spiritual ADHD? When you suffer from spiritual ADHD, they don't make your glasses quick enough. Young people, you've been seeking the Holy Ghost, but God hasn't filled you yet. Yet you have been baptized, and you have repented of your sins. What you have to do is wait on God. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. keep your focus. So finally, when your prescription is finally made up, and finally when they get your glasses, and finally when I got my glasses, and I put them on, I said, oh, I can see the plane. Oh, I can see the car. Oh, mom, can you see this? And oh, mom, can you see that? Ask my mom. She said, I was so excited when I got my glasses. I was so excited when I got my natural glasses, but I was more excited when I got my spiritual glasses. When I got my spiritual glasses, when I wanted to go somewhere, God kept me from going that place. When I wanted to listen to certain music, God kept my ears from listening to certain music. When I wanted to do this, God kept me from doing that. When I didn't see the enemy before, when I had my glasses off, now I got my glasses on, I can see the enemy now. And you know what? I'll give it to you. Sometimes your glasses get knocked off sometimes. Sometimes you get off track sometimes. Sometimes you find yourself playing around. Sometimes I play basketball and my glasses get knocked off. But sometimes you be playing with the world and your glasses get knocked off. Don't worry about it. Just get down on your knees and look for your glasses. Get down on your knees and pray to God. Lord, give me back my glasses. Restore my sight. Restore the joy of my salvation. Lord, help me to keep my focus. Lord, help me to keep my focus. Lord, help me to look into your word. Lord, help me to have the right mental attitude toward any circumstance. If your glasses get knocked off, get on your knees until you find your glasses. Now, I'll tell you a true story that happened to me. I was in my, I was in Antiochus' car, and Rebecca, Sarah, and Zanny, they were in there, and we were playing around and doing something, and my glasses fell off. Now, and they're laughing because they already know where I'm going. Now, when my glasses fell off, I couldn't see anything. When my glasses fell off, I didn't know what was going on. When my glasses fell off, I'll say it again, I did not know what was going on. When you close your glasses and put your glasses up on the bookshelf and don't read it again, your glasses, sometimes you won't know what's going on. All the answers are right here, but you won't know what's going on because you neglect to put on your glasses. So as my glasses fell off, I was reaching here and reaching there, and I saw something really shiny on the ground. And my glasses do shine in the light because they have like a little chrome part right here. But I thought that shiny object was my glasses. So when I picked it up, it was actually a phone. It was a charger, but the thing is that I am I'm nearsighted. I can't see things far off, but I can see them when they're really near. So I put them towards my face, and as I put them closer and closer, I put the charger right on my face like this. And they were laughing at me. It's like, Kayla, what are you doing? That's how we get sometimes. We'll go and get a charge in church, and then after that, leave. We'll go get a charge of this, and then after that, just go. We'll go get a charge of that and never really find your glasses. But what had to happen, somebody had to help me find my glasses. Rebecca or Sarah, I don't remember which one, they said, Caleb, those aren't your glasses. That's your glasses right there. No, you're not supposed to be out there. You're supposed to be in here. The message say, I come to lift your hands. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they all went up to the top and they all lifted their hands up. Now, like I said, we're building up to something here. But we just want to deal with glasses first. Now, this quote by Brother Branham, it says right here, he would pass this way. It said, could you imagine? I've had people to tell me, Brother Branham, I would ask God to heal me, but I know he's too busy. One more time. I would ask God to heal me, but he's too busy. My, could you imagine little fish about that long out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean saying, I better drink the water sparingly for I might run out one day. It says that's just as intelligent of thinking as that you could ever exhaust God's goodness to you. Could you imagine a little mouse about that long under the great grounders of Egypt? I'd better eat 2 grains a day for it may run out in the winter. Oh my. He said, I can't. He said, I can't. He wants to ask abundant so that his joy can be full. Don't be afraid to ask God for anything. He's willing, more willing to give it. Then you are to receive it. If we just get a little shadow wiped away to know that he's willing to do it, you're his child, he loves you. And it goes on to say this. You know how You like to minister and do a good thing to your child. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read. I want to read that part. I'll just save that part for a little bit later.
Getting your spiritual eyeglasses. God wants us to ask abundantly. God doesn't want us just to ask sparingly, but ask abundantly. Now, we say, you know what, Brother Caleb, you give a great story about yourself, but we want to tie back to Scripture as well. Let me tell you somebody that had to keep his focus. Elijah and Elisha. That young man followed that old man. That young man followed his guardian, I would say. That young man followed his role models. And as he followed his role models, they crossed over Jordan. And as they crossed over, people said, Elisha, Elisha, he's getting ready to go away one day. Don't follow him. Or sometimes they say, that minister or that person, they're getting ready to do this. Don't follow him. You know how they worship. You know how they praise. Don't do that. Don't go to that place. You know how they talked about you. But Elijah just kept walking. Elisha said, I'm following you. He said, I got to keep my focus. I don't care what nobody else says. I don't care what they say to me. I've got to keep my focus. I am going to keep pressing on. So when they cross over to Jordan and say, he's getting ready to leave one day, he said, I don't care what you say. I got to keep my focus. Lord, help me. He said, Lord, I got to keep my focus. No, I'm not going to watch anywhere. I'm not going to turn to the left or to the right. I'm not going to turn anywhere. I'm going to look straight at you. And that's what we have to do, look straight at the Word of God. Use our spiritual eyeglasses and look straight at the Word of God. We can't look straight at our neighbor because our neighbor may fail us one day. We can't look straight at the minister because the minister may fail us one day. We can't look straight at the musician because the musician may fail us one day. We can't look straight at the usher because the usher may fail us one day. We can't look straight at the camera person because the camera person may fail you one day. We have to look at the person that will never fail, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ tells us to keep our focus. Elijah, he kept on walking. He said, Elijah said, why do you follow me? He said, I want a double portion of what you got. I followed my mom's experience long enough, but I said, Mom, I want a double portion of what you got. I followed Brother Jack's experience for long enough, but I said, Brother Jack, I want a double portion of what you got. I followed Sister Burris for a long time, but I said, Sister Burris, I want a double portion of what you got. I just don't want a portion, but I want a double portion. I want to see, is that the same God that filled you? Can he fill me? I said, young people, why are you here? Are you following for a double portion? Are you following to keep your focus? Or are you just following just to follow? Are you following to get something, or are you following just to follow? There's followers and there's leaders. If you're a leader, you don't follow anybody. But when you're a follower, you follow anybody, exactly. Anybody that crosses your path, you follow them. When the boy crosses you, you'll follow him. When the music crosses you, you'll follow them. When the naysayers cross you, you'll follow them. When the devil crosses you, you'll follow him. And the thing is that if you follow him, you'll be out of focus, and you won't even know that you're following him until it's too late to know you're following him. But God says, keep your focus. Elisha was following at one point, but he was following with an objective in mind. He was following with a mindset in mind. Lord, I got to keep my focus. Then finally Elijah said, if you see me go, you can have a double portion. If you see me go, you can have a double portion. Now, it's not death to anybody in here. But if you see me leave, you may have a double portion. Now, what do I mean? If you see me leave, you may have a double portion. I leave on Sunday, but I come back on Sunday. I come back the following Sunday, you can have a double portion of that. Something that would be able to keep you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. When I leave and I'm not looking at you, and you are all by yourself, if you see what I got, and if you believe it, you can have it. But the thing is that, are you scared to ask God for it? Has the devil brought you out of focus? When I say, has the devil brought you out of focus, has he blinded you so bad that you neglect to put your glasses on? You forgot where your glasses were. You forgot where your experience was. And as you forgot where everything was, you forgot where your blessings were. You forgot where your strength was from. You forgot where your courage was from. You forgot where your joy was from. You forgot where your smile was from.
has the devil blinded you so bad that you lost your focus?
Lord, help me to be still.
Has the devil blinded you so bad that you lost your focus? People try to tell you and you lose your focus.
Devil, I rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ.
Has anybody ever talked about you in such a way that you lose your focus? Just because they say something, you lose your focus. Just because you might have done something that you can't forgive yourself, you lose your focus. The scripture says, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will give praise even though I'm running. Lord, I will still give you praise. Even though I don't feel like I'm a strong Christian, I will still give you praise. Even though I don't feel like things are going right in my life, I will still give you praise. Lord, I will still keep my focus. This last quote I want to read to you, and then after that, we're just going to kind of go just a little bit. It said, God lets disappointments happen to show victory. Oh, if we can only see that. See? You'd only see that thing, that these things that seem to be so burying you and upsetting you, they are trials. They are things to stand still, focus your glasses on the Word of God, and speak the Word and just walk forward. That's all there is to do. We get to a time we say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm up against it. Speak the word. Lord, I believe, and just walk forward. God does the opening of the sea. You just keep walking. See? Fixing our spiritual eyeglasses to keep our focus. Another person that comes to my mind was Jonah. Jonah had lost his focus. God told Jonah to do something. And as God told Jonah to do something, he found himself out of focus and running. What happened is that he ran into something that was going to bring him right back to where he started from. He ran into some so-called friends or some shipmates or some homies that were going to ship him over to a different place, that were going to ship him over that he thought he was going to the party with, that he thought he was going to this certain event with, that he thought he was going to get away from God, but God will let you go so far, but then he has to bring you back into focus. As he had to bring him back into focus, a storm began to come, and then after a while, as a storm came, and then the devil began to push Jonah just a little bit, and God allowed the devil to stir Jonah up just a little bit. Finally, he got into focus and said, guys, because this is why we're going through. It's because of me. We have to repent. This is why I'm going through. It's because of me. It's not because of that person. It's because of me. He said, "Boys, cast me over out of the ship. Cast me over out of the rap music. Cast me over out of the world. Cast me over out of this. Cast me over out of that. Whatever your this is, cast me over out of that. I don't want no part of it anymore. I see what it causes. It causes pain to other people. It causes suffering to other people. It causes other people to lose their focus. Just imagine this. Jonah left, and probably he was supposed to be in Nineveh, and somebody committed suicide just because Jonah wasn't there. Cast me over, out. Cast me out of the ship. And a great whale was there to eat Jonah, and it put him right in the bottom of the sea. And as it put him right at the bottom of the sea, the whale just sat there. That's what our experience is doing. It's just sitting there. We're not doing anything with our experience. It's just sitting there. We're not doing anything with our gift. It's just sitting there. We're not doing anything with the ability that God has given us. It's just sitting there at the bottom of the sea. But as it sits there, what are you doing as it sits there? Jonah could have went to sleep. Jonah could have complained. Jonah could have just laid there and waited till he was swallowed all the way up into the well's belly, and then there was no more Jonah. But what Jonah did, he went down on his knees. Jonah finally got focused. Jonah said, Lord, even though I'm going through this, I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. You read it in Jonah verse 2. He said, I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. Lord, I don't know, Lord, why I went this way. I don't know why I did this. But Lord, I'm back in focus now. Lord, I finally found my glasses. Lord, I finally put my glasses on. and I see how far the devil has brought me out. And as I see how far the devil has brought me out, Lord God, I don't know how to get back. Get me into focus so I can get back. Lord, you said you're the author of my circumstance. Lord God, I am in the middle of this story. Lord God, help me to know where the end of this story is. Where is the end of this road? Where is the end of this trial? Where is the end of this test? Where is the end of this pain? You know what God responded in? God responded back to Jonah, the end is in you. The end is in you. What do I mean that the end is in me? The end is I got to break down my walls and just walk. The quote said that you just have to walk and God's going to provide the way. It said you have to walk up to the sea and God has to arm. God will open it. You just got to walk. Not sit there, but walk. Why do I say walk? Because when the whale finally gave up Jonah just didn't sit into the whale. Jonah got up, brushed the seaweed off, brushed the past feelings off, brushed the stankness off, and walked. That's what you got to do. Brush the past off. Brush the stankness off. Brush the seaweed off. Brush the criticism off. Brush the pain off. Brush the naysayers off. And you got to walk. And when you walk, you got to keep your focus. When a person is in battle, there's a great battle going on. Bullets flying everywhere. Arrows flying everywhere. In old times, a person would ride his horse right in the heat of the battle, right in the middle of the battle. He couldn't be concerned over this person going down. He couldn't be concerned over this person going down. You can't be concerned if somebody leaves. You can't be concerned about somebody else. You can't be concerned about them. You got to be concerned about yourself. Now, I'm not saying don't love that person. But if that person neglects to get into their focus, don't let that person make you lose your focus. You have to keep your focus. You have to keep your stand. And you got to stand. That's it. You have to keep your focus and stand. When people say, let's do this, no, I'm not doing this. When people say, hey, let's go out, no, I am not doing that. I'm going to stay in church. You told me to go out, no, you come here. Now it's that feeling beginning to come again, and now I'm just being still. You don't go out. You let the people come to you. You be the leader, not the follower. You be the one to text them good things, not complaining things. You be the one not to give that person a pity party. And devil, I know you don't like me right now. But the thing is that Brother Jack said, don't hold the ride for me. And devil, I'm not holding any punches. And when I say I, not Caleb Wesco, but I, Jesus Christ, I'm not holding any punches. My children have been gone for too long, but I, the Lord Jesus Christ, said I will restore, saith the Lord. And it's time for restoration. It's time for restoration in the church. It's time for people to get back in focus. You look around in your seats, and you see empty seats. You look around in seats and see seats filled. You look around and see people that aren't here. You look around and see people that aren't here. When you see an empty seat, that shouldn't shake you. When you see an empty seat, that shouldn't make you lose your focus. When you see an empty seat, that shouldn't sway you. You should say, oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Lord, you're the author and finisher of the faith. Lord God, I press toward the mark of the high calling. It didn't say we press toward the mark. It said I press toward the mark. I don't care what goes on in so-and-so's life. Lord God, I'm putting this up. I press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not a group thing, and it's an individual thing. When you come to stand on the day of judgment, you're not going to stand with your friend. You're not going to stand with that person that stood next to you. You're going to stand by yourself. God is going to ask you, were you focused? You see things that are going on in your house. Your husband may not be here. Your wife may not be here. Your children may not be here. Are you going to still keep your focus in the house? You see things going on in the job and everything. You see that the naysayers are coming up against you and they're pushing up against you. Are you still going to keep your focus? You see that the money is getting a little tight. You can't really pay all this stuff and afford to pay your tithes and offering. Are you still going to keep your focus? You see that you've made past mistakes and the devil is...